As we continue to analyze the spending and policies in the state budget, we're turning our attention now to some of the veteran issues addressed in the $212 billion spending plan. And to do that, we're joined once again by Derek Coy, a Marine who served in Iraq and now works as the Veterans Health Officer for the New York State Health Foundation, a foundation dedicated to improving the health of New Yorkers. Welcome back to the show, Derek.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I want to start with funding for peer-to-peer mentoring, because when we talked about 2 months ago, this money was kind of in limbo. What was the issue then, and how has it been resolved?
It's something that gets introduced and kind of cut out of the executive budget and gets negotiated back and forth. But consistently for the last few years, it has been there. But I think, as anyone knows, if you want long-term funding or any kind of planning to kind of best address the needs of veterans, it's good to know if you're going to have money the following year to continue these services. And right now, not only was it included, which is certainly a great thing, but there's also been a rather large increase in the funding now. So almost about $500,000 extra from last year. So that's definitely a good thing. But I think, it's tough to plan long term when you're not sure if you're going to continue to have funds year to year.
And an allocation in the budget is a commitment, but distribution of money is kind of more meaningful. Have we seen any problems with actually getting this money out the door in the past? And if so, are you confident that the money that's allocated now, including this increase, is going to, you know, flow smoothly in this new fiscal year?
I think that's a good breakdown of what the issue is, because, of course, to start getting the money and the funding there is incredibly important. But then also to the follow-up to that, where it's going, what it's doing, and who is receiving the funding. From what I understand, one of the issues that seems to be pretty troubling is that not only has it not been a consistent amount or any kind of long-term commitment of the funding, but also it's kind of like almost like a bid procedure where different counties or different folks can kind of make a pledge and say, hey, here's what we could do with it. Here's what would be useful. And I think hopefully, one, not only would this be a permanent part of the funding cycle for New York, which I think would help long-term planning, but also a way to better allocate where it's going. It kind of is at the will of different organizations and different county folks that are doing different things with the money. So if there would be a way to, one, guarantee that it's there, and then two, make sure that we kind of know what's working, what's not, where the actual needs are, and make sure that the folks who need the funding are getting it. And I think right now that's a little bit of a tricky situation that we're in.
Since we talked last, the legislature and Governor Andrew Cuomo took steps to expand access to veterans treatment courts, local courts that specialize in veterans and really have a proven record in producing better outcomes than the traditional justice system. Has the law taken effect that you're aware of, or are we still waiting for these courts to become more accessible to veterans?
Yeah, so VTCs are just an absolute amazing resource, and we're really proud that it's a New York invention. They originally started in Buffalo in 2008 and have really spread. So what happened legislatively is we know that there were quite a few counties that didn't have a veterans treatment court. So if you were a veteran that was charged with a crime in one that didn't have one, then you really didn't have access to it. So what the law allows for is, instead of building or creating a new veterans treatment court in every county, this will allow a case to be transferred to an adjacent county if they currently don't have a VTC. So that's really exciting, and it's really great to see that happen. Certainly having bipartisan support and, you know, unanimous votes in both chambers, that's great for sure. The thing about what they're able to do is, prior to this, it was really at the discretion of a lot of different folks. So you could technically transfer cases. You could kind of work out different deals between different district attorneys and judges, but nothing was really codified and nothing was really streamlined as a way to do this to ensure universal access. So what this does is it kind of just essentially creates that, and it's a guide to let different folks that are involved in the justice system know what their options are for providing resources to veterans. And I think what will happen now will be a more concerted educational effort to let folks that might not know about VTCs or might not know about the transfer policy, be sure that they can use it to the extent possible. So that's definitely a huge step in the right direction.
in the same vein as the veterans treatment courts, we saw the state make a $500,000 investment into the New York State Defenders Association Veteran Defense Program, as well as a $220,000 investment into the same program down on Long Island. How is that money used, and how does that fit in with the veteran treatment courts?
Yeah, so it's really, I think, a great addition to the universal expansion of veterans treatment courts. And unfortunately, because there is universal access now, it doesn't mean that every veteran will be able to qualify for a few different reasons. And there are instances of perhaps a capital crime or other instances that would not allow for a veteran to have access to a veterans treatment court. And what this does is make sure that any veteran that finds himself in that situation will have great legal representation. And what we've learned, and certainly talking to folks like that throughout the years to have a better understanding of what's happening in the space, they not only have had clients where this has been hugely beneficial, but they also don't have the capacity to meet the demand. So knowing that every veteran has access to a veterans treatment court that is, of course, qualified, and in addition to that, there's an increased investment in organizations like the New York State Defenders Association, it really is creating a comprehensive approach to making sure veterans have access to the legal resources they need. And certainly looking at Long Island, where you have a huge concentration of veterans in a rather small space, the need is pretty large there as well. So to see not only the increased allocation of funding for the Defenders Association, but their expansion, I think this is really looking at an innovative way of making sure no matter what the veteran's legal needs are, they're going to be met in one capacity or the other.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about veterans' issues in the state budget. And our guest is Derek Coy. He is a Marine who served in Iraq and now works as the Veterans Health Officer for the New York State Health Foundation. Will this investment meet the needs of all New Yorkers, or will some veterans still be left scrambling for, you know, how to pay legal representation?
Tough to say. History has kind of shown us that unfortunately there are always some veterans for one reason or another kind of slip through the cracks, or a lot of folks might not know that they even exist or what it would take to qualify. And that's a larger question. I hope that this is going to be a reflection of, you know, a robust investment and a multifaceted approach to providing veterans the legal resources they need. But I think, again, just looking back historically, it's always been pretty tough to make sure every veteran is taken care of, they have what they need, and the quality of the resources they're provided are enough to meet those needs.
The budget also includes about $250,000 for the SAGE Veterans Project, and SAGE appears to be an acronym here and not an herb garden project for returning veterans. So how is that money getting used?
Correct. And SAGE is a really amazing organization. And I think this kind of all falls in line with a lot of the topics that we're discussing. So if you look back from World War II till current day, there were, I want to say, just hundreds of thousands of military service members that were kicked out of the service for being gay. And now that is no longer the case, there are a lot of folks that just don't have access to benefits like VA healthcare or disability compensation because they were kicked out because of their sexual orientation. So what SAGE does, and again, it's a tremendous resource, they provide those legal resources. So if a veteran would like to upgrade their discharge because they were kicked out because of their sexual orientation, that's a huge win for them that can likely provide them with access to pretty high quality healthcare at VA or disability compensation or any of the other wraparound services that VA provides. So by investing in that and certainly looking at the older generation of veterans who might have been kicked out decades ago and looking at the impact that's taken on their life throughout the years, it's a great investment. Same thing there. I think they're an amazing organization, but there would be, you know, I think always a higher demand for these services and hope that this is not a one-off and, you know, the state continues to invest in resources for folks like that.
Are there any needs for veterans that you feel weren't addressed or weren't adequately addressed by this state budget?
Yeah, so when we talk about what's in the budget for veterans, we could look at specific things. But a lot of folks that are veterans, you know, they wore the uniform for a few years, and that might not be a huge part of their identity. And they might be getting resources like a lot of us do from what we would consider non-veteran outlets. So, of course, during the pandemic, things have been so tough for so many people and have disproportionately affected a lot of folks. So the things that we're seeing in the veteran community, I think, reflect that as well, such as housing. That's such a huge issue. You know, if you're living in New York City or other more expensive parts of the state, that's a huge hurdle to get over. And in addition to that, kind of these basic needs, such as just addressing food insecurity. So that might not be a veteran-specific budget line item per se, but a lot of the work the state does to address food insecurity will for sure impact veterans. So when we look at, you know, kind of what is not included, it's pretty tough to make sure that, you know, the nearly 700,000 veterans across the state do have access to proper housing, proper, you know, nutritional needs, and, you know, food insecurity is addressed, and certainly mental health. Prior to the pandemic, we already know that there was a huge shortfall of mental health providers just nationwide. And in addition to that, not only having access, but continued access and high quality services, it's just been a huge, you know, deficit. And again, that was prior to the pandemic. So when we're looking at what the needs of veterans are, they are robust. Fortunately, there's been a little bit of good news. And because veterans in particular, but a lot of folks that have dealt with trauma or had mental health issues previously, they are resilient. And the overwhelming majority of veterans are doing well. They are active in their communities. They've looked back on this year as a time to step up and serve others. And there's been some research recently published from VA researchers, I think about 2 weeks ago, and it's shown that there's been a lot of growth for folks, veterans in particular, that have had prior mental health issues. But again, when we look at what veterans need holistically, it usually does go beyond what's just allocated for veterans in the budget. So again, housing, food insecurity, mental health, those are all huge needs, and the demand is pretty high. So I think we have to look at what else the budget has included or not included. And I think those are some of the things that continue to need to be addressed.
Well, we've been speaking with Derek Coy. He is the Veterans Health Officer for the New York State Health Foundation. Derek, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's truly my pleasure. Thanks for having me back and covering these issues.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.